statement, okay? Has he called yet? Lily asks. We're sitting on the radiator in front of the bay window in our form room, just before assembly. No one else comes near our patch. They're probably afraid of getting piles anyway, which everyone knows is what happens when you sit on hot radiators for hours. Yeah, I say, although he hasn't. It irritates me that she's got to be so nosy about the situation with Seb when she wasn't even at the party, and it's none of her business. What do you say then? She sounds surprised, and even a bit annoyed that he's called, that there might be a boy in the world who prefers me to her. I don't understand why she's such a bitch, really. She's got about 1,500 boys trailing around after her. She's had her hair streaked with platinum blonde, caramel and copper for the wedding at the weekend, and feathered round her face, so now she looks like a hair model. Her nails, which have never been as good as mine, are now French manicured and square cut, and she looks polished, perfect, and 100 times better than me. I'm wearing my mum's stone-washed Tesco jeans that are too short to wear with my stack trainers and my violet trigger-happy T-shirt with woven canary yellow lettering. Oh, you know, he wants to take me to the cinema tomorrow night, I improvise, making a note to ask mum to take me to the cinema, so Lily won't know that I wasn't with Seb. If he just calls me, then everything will be okay. I just have to get through today at school and then survive the whole evening which stretches ahead. The Sahara Desert, relentless, dull, dry, and no doubt silent without the phone call. I've convinced myself that he's not going to call now. He didn't call on Sunday. One wouldn't expect a call that soon, as that would signal that the boy is a loser and too keen, possibly stalker material. He didn't call Monday or Tuesday, and it's now Wednesday morning, which means that this evening is really when he should call. According to the rules, he's just not that into you. Jane Austen's Guide to Dating and How to Make Anyone Fall in Love with You. In fact, if he was going to, he would have called anyway. Boys don't read dating manuals. If they're interested, they just call when they remember, which is unlikely to be a whole 5 days after the incident. When I got together with Robbie, he called the next day and he said, Tanya, Mrs. Jones's voice breaks into my thoughts. We're in form assembly discussing some current issue, although since I haven't been listening, I've got no idea which one. Yes, Mrs. Jones? Well, what do you think about those National Drugs Helpline posters? I think they're a load of sensationalist, scaremongering, misleading rubbish, I think to myself. I imagine that they're a very effective deterrent, I reply. Are there statistics which show how many teenagers have been turned off taking drugs by the poster campaign? Well, Tanya, such data would be hard to find, as we can't know whether teenagers were going to take drugs but were put off by the posters, or whether the non-drug-using teenagers would never have taken drugs in the first place. I don't think anyone would be put off taking drugs by these posters if they really wanted to take them, Clara says. She can get away with making a comment like this, as she's never taken any illegal substances, as far as I know. I look around the class, wondering who Mrs. Jones assumes takes Class A's, and wondering if she reckons that I do. Lily's always been naughty. Mrs. Jones might suspect her. Or maybe our teachers assume none of us do, because we're not the sort of girls who do that, and we're too busy doing our biology homework. Of course, if we understand the first thing about biology, we'll realise how bad drugs are for us, and how we're going to have lowered serotonin levels and be miserable, unhappy, and forgetful in 30 years' time, if we manage to avoid the more immediate pitfalls of dehydration, unprotected sex, heart failure, and coma. Oh, I almost forgot about the poison, dog worming tablets, and powdered glass that might be in our pills, which will cause agony and certain death. We can't seriously worry about 30 years on, though. I can't imagine ever being older than about 22. I look at Mrs. Jones, who must be about 9 million years old by now, and have no idea about what her thoughts and worldview and stuff might be. It must be awful to have grey hair and, even worse, grey pubes and wrinkles. No wonder my mum keeps having facelifts and shrink wraps and dyes her roots and borrows my clothes. I watch Lily doodling in her notebook, the infinite spirals and garlands that are the trademark motifs of magic realms blossom on her page in blue biro. Our parents and teachers don't consider how much fun drugs are, though. That's why girls like us do them. We're not escaping dead-end jobs, abuse, hopeless lives. We're looking for novelty. Magic Realms is a place where we fit in, where we're not the private school girls who go to Jewish youth clubs we are the rest of the time, but part of the fluorescent, sparkly magic tribe. The door of the secret garden that drugs have led me to swings open, and its tropical flowers glow, amber, scarlet, and turquoise. The heady scent lulls me. Hibiscus and poppies bloom there. Hummingbirds and toucans fly around this magical jungle. Okapis and tapirs snuffle in the undergrowth. Jaguars and ocelots slink in the shadows, and they speak in tongues I can understand. Treasures can be found here if you just wait for them to show themselves to you. New friends, further understanding of stuff, huge maturity. There is another way from the Jewish middle-class life of our parents, of bridge and dinner parties, tennis clubs and Radio 4. I would never, ever not have done it, I think. If I had every single evening back when I've done pills, I'd do it all over again, every time. So, Tanya, what do you think? Mrs. Jones asks. But she's only just asked me a question, though. Maybe she does know, and she's expecting me to turn deathly pale and confess everything. And then she's going to haul me up in front of the headmistress, who's going to call my mum, and I'm going to be expelled, grounded for the rest of my life, and made to work in McDonald's with the pustular, poor and retarded. I look at the poster, What Ecstasy Does to You, and the staring eyes bulge out of the skull in the photo, which is stripped of skin and flesh. The bloodshot eyes lock with mine, and I know she must know all about me. I haven't got the faintest idea what she's just asked me, but now my mind isn't just blank, it stings. I look back at Mrs. Jones, and a switch flicks on in my head. It is no longer possible for me to be here. The walls are breathing, the ceiling sways, the desks move away from me on a conveyor belt. I've got to go, I tell Mrs. Jones, stumbling out of the classroom, passing the astonished gazes of Clara, Helena, and Lily. I don't know where I'm running to, only that I have to get out, but I pick up speed as I pass along the corridor, past the displays of Anne Boleyn's execution, past the burning of heretics under Bloody Mary, and slaves crowded on ships on their way to America. I turn down the stairs, descend 4 flights and out of school, away from my prison and into the park. The park passes by in a blur as I run to the tube station, jump on the first train, and start to think about what to do, what's happening. Thoughts buzz around my head, a swarm of angry bees. I can't go home. Mum will kill me if I turn up a mere 2 hours after I've gone to school, especially today when she knows I've got lessons all day. My timetable's up in the kitchen, of course. I can't go to Oxford to see my brother Carl. It's too far. If only I could go to Robbie's. In fact, that's what I'll do. I'll go to Robbie's. He'll know what to say and what to do. He always has an answer for everything. Walking up his street, the street I used to be on intimate terms with, tears run down my face. It seems like a lifetime ago that it was the night before my 16th birthday, and I was walking down this street with Robbie and his liver and white Springer Spaniel, Fred. I really should shag someone before tomorrow, I remember saying, as Fred wraps his paws round my leg and rubbed his tummy against my knee and buried his face in my crotch. Fred always fancied me more than Robbie did. Well, you know, I would if you really want to, but I'm worried you might fall in love with me or something, Robbie said. Girls usually do. This was rubbish, of course. Robbie, at this point, had had sex precisely once with a girl called Sharon, who he met on holiday, and looking back on it, he probably made her up. Piss off, I said, and that was it. The moment passed, leaving me with the embarrassing burden of my virginity, which, unbelievably, I still haven't managed to get rid of. House Martins swoop and bomb up into the eaves of the house next door to Robbie's, even though it's winter and they should be in Africa. Telegraph wires cut across the sky, zebra stripes. But are the white stripes on black, or black stripes on white? And if you peel the black, is it white underneath, or dripping flesh? And what if its internal organs fall out through the gashes where the stripes have been? It's possible that the stripes are even a lattice that holds the whole animal together. Robbie's house looms into view. The lilac house, the colour of my bedroom walls, the paint his parents nearly got divorced over. Robbie's dad told Robbie's mum to paint the house whatever colour you like, darling. And when he came home from work that day, the house was lilac. He could never bring himself to broach the subject of the colour of the house again. A colour it's remained ever since, for the past 16 years, for almost our whole lives, in fact. The monkey puzzle tree in their front garden obscures most of the lilac, but behind it I can see Robbie's window open, and I can hear music coming from his room. And as I draw closer, I hear two voices, Robbie's and a girl's, and they're laughing and no doubt talking about normal stuff. And I bet they don't run out of lessons for no reason, and they don't worry about whether someone they would have snogged once a few weeks ago has called or is going to call. And I bet Robbie's thinking, I'm so glad I split up with Tanya and met Michelle, who's... And by the time I've almost finished this thought, I've walked past the house and I can't turn back now because I've missed my chance and the moment's gone and there'd be no point anyway because it's all over now and there's no going back to the way things were before.